In December 1938, citizens of London, England are uneasy. In September, they had listened to their Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain announce that he had reached an agreement with Adolf Hitler that they would have peace in our time.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. Some of you perhaps have already heard what it contains, but I would just like to read it to you. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Not long after Mr. Chamberlain's announcement, Adolf Hitler's army invaded Czechoslovakia.
Deutschland hat so viel Schlechtes überdauert, dass es seine glanzvolle Wiederauferstehung erst recht überdauern wird.
Britain's people were hopeful that the United States of America might intervene in European matters. But citizens of London became even more uneasy as the American president announced America's intent to not become involved in European matters.
Since 1931, the use of force, instead of the council table, has constantly increased in disputes between nations. Last January, I told the Congress that a war which threatened to envelop the world in flames has been averted. But it has become increasingly clear that peace is not assured.
The employees of a London cosmetic shop had stood in the dark around the radio in the owner's office after their boss had gone home. They had listened to the news that seemed to imply imminent danger for themselves and for all citizens of Great Britain. Hammersley's Perfumery is an old establishment firm of high repute, founded by the present owner's grandfather. It is a pleasing old shop, comfortable, hospitable, and with an air of stability about it. On this particular Saturday evening, the Christmas season is in full swing. The perfumery is filled with customers. Seasonal noises from the street can be heard each time the door opens. The level of sales is so high, Mr. Hammersley himself needs to also wait on customers. Even though the harbingers of war occupy the subconscious mind of salespeople and customers alike, the overriding concern of all deals with the mundane matters of how well one looks and how well one smells to others. The social interactions of the people within this microcosm reveal the common concerns of common people everywhere. Whom shall I love? Will that person love me? Will that person be faithful to me? How happy would we be together? Will I still have a job? What time is it? How much longer do I have to perform this silly job before I get to go home?
Anything else, madam?
Yes. Have you got any Côté L'Amour?
Perfume, madam.
Powder.
Certainly, madam. What shade?
Rachel.
Mr. Ashwood, Côté L'Amour, the Rachel scent, please.
Small or large, sir?
Beg your pardon, young man.
My humble apology, madam. I was responding to Mr. Hammersley.
Indeed.
What size, madam?
I see.
What size, madam?
How much is the small?
9 and 7, madam.
9 and 7 what, young man?
Apologies again, madam. I was addressing another customer.
I see. Please let me know when you plan on addressing my needs.
The large size?
17 and 6.
There you go again. Really?
Sorry again.
You'd do better to have the large box, sir, if I might advise you.
It's the better bargain.
I'm in rather a hurry, you know.
So sorry, madam. Is there anything else I can get for you?
Anything else? You haven't gotten anything for me. I need a new toothbrush.
Which do you prefer? Hard, medium, or soft?
If it's for your baby, madam, I wouldn't use any other soap.
Baby? What baby?
The small size will do for the moment.
Mr. Ashwood, a small Rachel powder for the lady, if you please.
Certainly, sir. Here you are, madam. Anything else?
No, but I believe that lady needs a new toothbrush.
But only if you can spare the time.
But of course, madam. I only assumed there was going to be a baby. If the powder's for madam, may I suggest our new line of powder? It's called Hay. It's quite natural.
A bit strong, isn't it? Shouldn't it be called Straw?
Coming right up, Mr. Hammersley. Mr. Kelly, would you please show this fine lady our selection of toothbrushes? Please?
Right you are, Ashwood. Matt, please be so kind as to allow me to conclude the transaction with this other customer. I'll be right with you.
We can only hope.
Here you are, madam. A large bottle of our finest bath salts. Is there anything else? No? Please, pay at the desk. Miss Molson will be happy to accept your payment.
That will be 14 and 9, madam. Do you want that gift wrapped? No? Well then, thank you, good night, and Merry Christmas.
Good night, madam, Merry Christmas.
Good night, madam. Now, about your order, madam.
I have been waiting here to see some toothbrushes for the last half hour.
Oh, so sorry, madam. You have a bit of a rush tonight, holidays and all. Close tomorrow, don't you know?
But I only need a toothbrush.
But of course, madam. You need hard, medium, or soft?
It's not for me. It's for my husband.
But of course, madam. What does your husband prefer?
Soft. That blue one, in soft.
Certainly, madam. Here you are. Will there be anything else?
Not at any time in the foreseeable future. Next time, I intend to go to Selfridges.
Do they carry toothbrushes at Selfridges, madam?
I don't know, but I intend to find out.
That will be 14 and 9, madam.
For a toothbrush?
Oh, sorry, madam. My error. 4 and 6. My mind must have been on the music.
That's more like it. Here. Keep the change and use it to buy a new record. That one is scratched.
Thank you, madam. Merry Christmas, madam.
If you should ever decide to have a baby, I still recommend that same powder.
I shall certainly not keep you informed of my reproductive intentions, sir.
Thank you, madam. Merry Christmas, madam.
I'm afraid, madam, that we only have the large size of Coty Lamour in stock. It is a popular item.
I don't want that. I want the small.
We could have a small size in for you by Monday.
Selfridges closes in 30 minutes. I think I will check there first. I might return on Monday, however.
Very well, madam. I will have the small size available for you on Monday if you find the Selfridges fails to meet your needs. Good night, madam. Merry Christmas, madam.
Thank you, sir. I hope your wife enjoys our products. I assure you that the ingredients in our products are far superior to those used in off-the-shelf brands. Merry Christmas, sir, and wish your wife the same. Good night.
That will be £2.18 and 6. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night, madam. I recommend the same baby powder to everyone, expecting or not.
Good night, madam. Have a Merry Christmas.
But I recall you used to like Royal Dindin, madam. No anymore, eh? Oh well. Good night, madam.
That will be £3.02 and 7. Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
You forgot your package, madam. There you go. Merry Christmas.
I don't set the sales tax, madam. The government does. It refuses to treat cosmetics as vital necessities, which they are, of course, and classes them as luxuries. But what can we do about it with that Mr. Hitler breathing down our necks, eh? Good night, madam.
Shall I put that on your account? Very well. Good night, madam. Merry Christmas.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Constable.
It's 12 minutes past the hour.
Sorry, officer. Mr. Ashwood, why isn't the door locked and the closed sign put out yet?
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Do I need to remind you every blessed evening?
We are rehearsing for another possible encounter with Jerry, if you get my meaning. We wouldn't want your fine shop to become a target now, would we? Good evening. And let's get those lights turned out.
There was such a rush. I can't possibly think of everything.
How often have I asked you, Mr. Ashwood, to not contradict me in the presence of my customers?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to.
The fact that you worked here longest does not entitle you to preferential treatment.
You're not being fair, Mr. Hammersley. Oh,
not being fair, eh? If you can't spare 10 seconds shutting the door, you can still ask Mr. Kelly or Miss Richards or Mr. Smith to see to it and put up the sign. And it is still not up. What do any of you care whether I get fined or not? It's I who pays, not you. In this business, thanks to your superhuman efficiency, Mr. Ashwood, so prosperous that I can safely be expected to put up with anything. You're right. If I can put up with you, there's nothing I can't put up with.
May I know the reason for this sudden change in your attitude towards me?
Shh! Sudden? How so? What makes you think it's sudden? Perhaps it is not sudden at all, but now I have had enough. Miss Molson, turn off that blasted Christmas music. Now, please.
Yes, Mr. Hammersley.
If you only tell me, Mr. Hammersley, what you're blaming me for.
Shut up!
I won't!
Are you sure?
This has been going on for days, and for no reason.
Are you sure that I have none?
I'm positive.
I don't wish to be told that there is such a rush that you can't think of everything. Where's the rush? That stray customer every hour or so to sell a bar of soap to, or a hairnet? Is that what you call a rush? Or do you prefer the everlasting preoccupation of the staff with cinemas and dog tracks? Is that what I employ 7 people for? Is that how I'm supposed to pay the rent, the taxes, light, gas, wages, insurance, and so on and so forth? And if once a year, before Christmas, there happens to be a 6 customers in the place at the same time, you dare to call that a rush? What name, Mr. Ashwood, would you give to my lot, then? The fact that I am still here and shout. The fact that I haven't locked the door and thrown the key away yet. The fact that I haven't given my staff their cards, as my neighbors right and left have done, to keep the business going. Find me a name for that, Mr. Ashwood.
I told you, shut up.
It was a bit too thick.
Is it any better now?
But what the hell have I done?
Haven't you got eyes in your head? He's been on edge for days.
Why pick on me? Here I am, working like a slave. I spent my whole life in the shop. And this is the reward I get?
He's got his troubles, too. Do you know what's getting him down?
I've been working here for 9 years. What have I done? Tell me! Why has he been at me all week?
Rubbish.
For a whole week he's been treating me like dirt.
Didn't he tell me off yesterday? It's best to leave him alone. We don't know what's eating him. Maybe he had a row with his wife.
How do you know?
I don't know. I was merely saying maybe. How am I to know? No business of mine, is it?
Who is staying for window dressing?
I don't know. Ask him.
Are you staying, Mr. Kelly?
If I'm needed.
Miss Richards, what about you?
I haven't been asked to.
Mr. Hammersley wants the Christmas displays fixed tonight.
I'm being taken to the pictures.
What are you going to see?
What difference does it make to you? You're no film fan. Tell me truly, Smithy, when did you last go to the flicks?
Let me see. It was a big epic, all about the Crusades. There were armies and battles and cities falling. That was a picture for you. All for 6 pence, a cup of tea and a biscuit thrown in.
Oh, never heard of it. Possibly before I was born.
Possibly, but not probably. How old are you?
20.
And the rest?
Did you say something, Miss Molson?
I'm making up accounts. Why?
Then I heard you wrongly.
I'm adding up, but try as I may, it still comes to at least 30.
What?
Miss Column.
Smithy, dear, you shouldn't be so foppish about pictures. Take it from me, many highbrow people enjoy picture going.
How could I be foppish about it, dear Miss Richards? On the contrary, if only I had time to go. Unfortunately, I haven't. I often feel embarrassed at a party when it comes to discuss pictures or a film star. I have to keep mum.
Well, I never. Do you go to so many parties? You don't look as if you do.
That was sarcastic. My dear Miss Richards, a nice little girl like you shouldn't be sarcastic. It doesn't suit you.
You don't say.
Nor should she try to be witty at all costs.
It always pays to talk to a wise man, they say.
You're overrating me. I'm far from being wise. Merely that I didn't stop reading when I finished Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Hammersley's. Good evening, Mrs. Hammersley. Will you hold, please? Call Mr. Hammersley, will you?
Mr. Hammersley? You want on the phone, sir?
It's Mrs. Hammersley.
Hello? Yes, my dear. Cinema? Oh, I couldn't possibly. I told you this morning I'd be working late. Well, go, by all means. Are the children going with you? I can't tell you. No, I shan't be home by 10. Well, suppose you go straight home after the show, and I'll be there as soon as I can. No, I haven't forgotten. Anything else? What's that? How much? But I gave you a check this morning. All right, I'll send it over with an employee. Straight away. Yes, dear. Where's Raymond?
He's not back yet, Mr. Hammersley.
Not back yet? He only had 3 parcels to deliver, and is not back yet. I'll have to fire that nitwit.
I'll go if you like.
No, not you, thanks. Don't trouble. Mr. Kelly, would you be so good enough as to take a bottle of Lentheric Forever to my wife? And Miss Molson, give me £5.
Here, Mr. Hammersley.
Give both to my wife.
Very good, sir.
Who is to stay to dress the windows, Mr. Hammersley?
Pardon? What's that?
Sorry, I've been wondering whom Mr. Hammersley wants to do the windows.
Oh, yes, well, settle it amongst yourselves. Those who don't mind can stay.
I think Mr. Smith, Mr. Kelly, and I can manage between us. The ladies can go, couldn't they?
You intend to stay? I'm surprised. I had the impression that the rush had so much exhausted you that you'd rather leave.
I never said I was exhausted.
Nevertheless, you may go, Mr. Ashwood. We shan't miss you.
I'd appreciate it, Mr. Hammersley, if you'd tell me what I've done.
I told you a minute ago. Want to hear it again?
Stop pinching me, Mr. Smith. I slave in this shop as though it were my own, not yours, Mr. Hammersley.
Is that so?
I never let up. If there's no customer to serve in the shop, I work in the lab. This morning, for instance, before the rush started, I filled 100 tubes with Mona Lisa. And you, sir, keep nagging me for no reason.
For no reason?
Not even the slightest. I'm sorry to flare up like this, but I happen to know who's put the poison in for me.
Do you think I've got no eyes on my head? No mind of my own?
You've held a different opinion of me for 9 years. It's only recently changed.
It has, because I found out...
What? For God's sake, speak up!
That you've grown too cocksure, and this shop would still survive without your assistance.
If you're not satisfied with my work, why don't you tell me so?
I am telling you. I keep on telling you. How often do you have to be told?
Well, in that case, I shall have to act accordingly.
Is that a threat? Do you expect me to get squeamish and beg you to stay, eh? You can go, Mr. Ashwood, and Godspeed. When are you leaving?
At once, Mr. Hammersley.
Miss Molson, did the cash balance?
Yes, Mr. Hammersley. Would you mind checking it?
Later. Let me have the key.
Shall I start with the decorating, Mr. Hammersley?
Yes.
What shall I put out?
Please yourself. Where's the problem? There are only 2 boxes to choose from. Why do you keep asking me questions?
Certainly, Mr. Hammersley. I'll go get a box of decorations from the storeroom immediately.
Pardon me, Mr. Hammersley.
Yes?
If you don't need me...
You can go, my girl.
Thank you ever so.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hammersley, but I can't stand it any longer.
What is it, Miss Baker?
Nothing, but I have to hand in my notice.
Oh? Why?
He makes my life miserable. He says I've been plotting against him. He says I've undermined his position here. He says I live by my wits, not by my work, and that for me, every day is a holiday. I'm just hanging around here, and he has to take the blame for it. He called me a double-tongued serpent, a female Iago.
Who did?
I did. At last I told her what I think of her.
You two had better settle this without me.
Boxes get heavier and heavier each year. Where's Mr. Hammersley?
He went to his office.
Tell me, what's your game? Why am I in your way? Do you want my job for a girlfriend of yours?
Infantile! You all infantile!
I've had enough of your rudeness, and I'd rather clear out than put up with your slander any longer, see?
Slander? Mr. Smith, do you hear that? Mr. Smith?
I do, but I can't help you.
Now listen, Mr. Ashwood, because I'm going to speak up at last. From the moment I crossed this threshold, from the minute I started work here 2 years ago, you've been my enemy. For 2 years, I've been listening to your sarcastic comments on my work, to your uppish remarks about every word I say, from 9 until 6. If I come in 5 minutes early in the morning, you say in front of everyone, Miss Baker is a bit of a crawler this morning. If I come in 5 minutes late, you're ready with the remark, if Miss Baker did never to go to bed before the small hours, perhaps she could get here on time. According to you, I can't make up a parcel. I'm a bad sales girl. I'm rude and careless. I scare customers away. I'm cheeky with the women and sexy with the men. But that's not all. You have the nerve to tell Mr. Hammersley that whenever I feel a tube of toothpaste, it comes out anywhere but the nozzle. It's a rotten lie.
What? A lie? Here. Was I wrong? Your own work.
It isn't. You ordered the tubes. You okayed them.
There. You see how she twists things? You see how she's shifting the blame onto me? Me and the tubes. How do you account for the fact that whenever I fill the toothpaste tubes, it slides beautifully through the neck instead of a whole lot oozing out the back? I suppose I have influence with the tubes?
I don't care. I wouldn't be surprised if you did in order to pay me back. It's all in a day's work for you.
Do you hear that, Mr. Smith? Can you suggest an answer I could give Miss Baker?
Please, Mr. Smith, is it my fault if the tubes are defective?
Mr. Smith, do listen, please. It's still the tubes. Me and the tubes and everybody else, except Miss Patience Baker.
If you call me Patience just one more time, I'll scream the place down.
Stop it, for goodness sake. I don't know what I'm doing. Ah, there now. Are you too happy? I just broke a bowl.
He keeps calling me Patience because he knows I hate it.
What do you say now, Mr. Smith?
Leave me out of this, please.
Am I responsible for her resplendent Christian name?
Every inch a gentleman.
Gentleman? Am I supposed to throw you a kiss every time I receive another stab in the back?
Now listen, I've got enough guts to tell you to your face that I hate you and won't spend another day with you in this shop.
You won't. I'm just cracking up. Congratulations.
What's the matter with him, Mr. Smith? I've never hurt him.
Haven't you?
I never even notice him.
That's just it.
I just don't happen to fall for Mr. Ashwood's charms.
That's up to you, but why hate him?
Because he is hateful.
Then don't expect declarations of love from him either.
What? And if I were alone with him on a desert island?
Don't commit yourself. I may be daft, but for years you've been working behind the same counter, confined to these few square yards for 8 hours a day, and you still haven't got used to each other's foibles. Maybe I'm too old to understand, Pat, dear.
See, he wouldn't call me Pat. He's never once called me Pat, the pig.
Look, my dear, Pat is a pet name, and Ashwood is absolutely no reason to pet you.
But Richards is Flo to him, and Beatrice Melson is B, and I know the reason.
Well?
Because he has had affairs with both of them.
Cute, aren't you?
I've got eyes in my head.
Well, go see an optician, then.
You are sweet, Mr. Smith, but I know what I know.
You're a twerp. Both girls are reserved.
Reserved?
Labeled for Mr. Kelly.
Kelly?
Are you really that dumb? Richards is his past, and Molson is his future. At least he hopes so. Mark my words, we might witness a cozy little scandal in this shop with Kelly in the lead.
But Miss Richards has a fiancé.
Pat, are you putting on an act? A man who drives a Rolls Royce, yet allows his future wife to sell soap, might be the chairman of a £250 million company, but never a fiancé. Unless he's the chauffeur. Give me a duster, will you? I better clean up that old Christmas tree first.
What did Ashford mean by going to pack up?
He had a row with the old man, just before the one he had with you.
I didn't know that. What was the row about?
Trifles. The old man has been on edge for days. He told Ashwood off. Ashwood answered back. One word followed another until that twerp Ashwood acted accordingly and quit.
And Mr. Hammersley?
He let him quit.
And is he really leaving?
Don't you worry. By Monday morning, they'll both have forgotten what the row was about. The old man is just jumpy. I'm sure he's sorry by now.
But he must have a reason.
He didn't. I tell you, he's just nervy. For a week now, he's been impossible. Yesterday, he told me off. But I let him talk. It's no use being rude to me, because I just go on smiling at him. And he accused me of something more concrete than he did Ashwood. For instance, that I had been stealing eau de cologne.
What did you say?
I said, Mr. Hammersley, do I look like a man who wears eau de cologne? He said he was sure I was selling it. So I said, Mr. Hammersley, do I look like a man who makes money on the side? He lost more of his temper and shouted, you look like a thief! Well, that I can't help, Mr. Hammersley, I said.
No, did he really call you a thief?
Worse than that.
And you?
I apologized.
Surely you didn't.
My dear Pat, people of my age and with my family responsibilities have got to apologize even though they've been wronged. Not because they're cowards, don't think that, but because circumstances leave them no choice. And, if you think about it, what does it matter? In India, thousands of people die of famine every day. In Sicily, they ambush one another and pop one another off. Now, add to that the fact that Mr. Hammersley called Mr. Smith in a shop in the south of England a thief? So what? What does it matter?
Hello, Pat, darling.
Good evening, Mr. Kelly.
I haven't seen you since lunchtime.
I've been busy in the laboratory. Where have you been?
The old man sent me on an errand. Tell me, is he still sulking?
I think so.
Bad luck just today.
Why?
I meant to ask him for an advance, dammit. Would you do me a good turn? Lend me a quid till Friday.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Kelly, but I can't.
You'll get it back on Friday for sure. Look, I owe you £4 anyway. Let me have another, that makes five. And that's a nice round figure. Can't promise you the lot on Friday, but I can guarantee three. And the rest in 2 weeks' time, all right?
I was counting on having the £4 yesterday.
That was force majeure. Something cropped up that I couldn't possibly have foreseen.
You said it was for 3 days, and for the last 2 months you've kept bringing up those unforeseen circumstances. I missed those £4, you know. I've been behind with my rent ever since. It's never happened to me before.
You'll have it on Friday. I give you my word. My sister's been taken ill. I simply must get her to a hospital.
Last time it was your brother. Then it came out that you have no brother.
Of course I have. Nephew? What's the difference? Bat, you'll have your money on Friday.
I haven't got that much money on me.
How much have you got?
Half a crown.
Well, borrow the rest. You'll get it from me on Friday.
Go on with you. Whom should I ask?
Try Miss Molson. Or the Richards girl. They always have money on them.
Then why don't you ask them yourself?
I don't take money from women. You're an exception. You're not just a woman to me. You're a friend, my pal. You're a gentleman.
Please stop it. I'll try.
Smithy, old chap.
Come off it. I haven't a father.
Hammersley? Mr. Hammersley? Who's speaking, please? Hold on, will you?
He's in his office.
Miss Molson, Mr. Hammersley is wanted on the telephone.
Miss Richards, telephone with Mr. Hammersley.
Mr. Ashwood, Mr. Hammersley is wanted on the phone.
Who is it?
Wouldn't give his name.
Hammersley? Yes, it's me. Who's that? Yes, I see. In that case, I'd like to see you tonight. Will 9 o'clock suit you? No. Here in the shop. See you at 9, then. Thank you.
Mrs. Hammersley will be expecting you at the restaurant opposite the palace after the show, sir. If you're not there by 10, they'll go home.
All right, then. The old tree doesn't look too bad, does it, Mr. Smith?
Lit up, it'll look better still. This'll be about enough artificial snow, don't you think?
I think so. Have a look at it from the outside. When will you be finished, Mr. Smith?
In a few minutes. Mr. Kelly could clear the other window in the meantime.
Not necessary. Time for that on Monday. When Mr. Smith is finished, you had all better go home.
All right, Mr. Hammersley.
Good night, Miss Richards.
Good night, Mr. Hammersley. Am I going to see you tomorrow?
I'm afraid not.
And may I ask why not?
You know jolly well why not. I'd not play 50-50s when the other 50 drives a Rolls Royce. Oh,
but you have done it for the past 12 months.
And now I'm done.
And I'll tell you another one. You're busy working on old Mrs. Hammersley.
What's that?
You have a plot to marry young Miss Hammersley. Marrying into the business, that is. Quite a climber, aren't you?
Oh, shut up!
I can save you the trouble. Miss Eve Hammersley wouldn't marry one of Papa's sharp boys.
That will do.
See you Monday, Smithy.
Have a nice time, Miss Richards.
Well, all the best, Mr. Smith. And thanks for everything.
You aren't really leaving us.
Well, I got the sack, you know. Half an hour's notice. After 9 years of hard work.
I thought you were more intelligent. I was mistaken.
Sorry to disappoint you.
To begin with, you are not sacked. It was you who gave notice. Now, you just come in on Monday and carry on as if nothing had happened. Because nothing has happened.
Well, I thought the same a quarter of an hour ago.
Well?
I went up to the old man, prepared to say I'm sorry, upon which he handed me my cards and my wages.
That's bad. That is sad.
He said times were bad, a cut was inevitable. He said I'm a young man, I'm single. With my efficiency, I'll find a job in no time. Blah, blah, blah.
By the blazes, did you have to answer him back? I nudged you. I kicked you. I pinched you. But no, you had to resign. A punch on the nose is what you deserve.
Agreed. But he wouldn't have sacked me anyway. If not today, then tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow we're closed. You know what I'll do? I'll talk to him.
Oh, no, you don't.
Get out of my way, you fool!
Mr. Smith, please listen to me. We've known for some time. He can't afford to keep all seven of us on. Business is slack. Whom do you think he would have to get rid of first?
Why, me, of course.
Exactly.
Because I'm 54 and not as quick as I used to be. I'm laid up every now and then with my arthritis.
At any rate, he picked me. And you should thank me, thank your lucky stars. Because he is right. I am single. No one depends on me. When you have your family to provide for...
And you have none.
What I meant to say was, I'm not so sure that this present trouble wasn't meant to save me from a worse one.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, I've had a pen pal for the past 6 months.
Yes, I remember. How was she doing?
Fine, thank you. And, well, she has said yes.
Splendid! So the two of you have finally met at last.
Oh, no. We haven't. I was supposed to meet her tomorrow at 3:30 on the pier, in front of the pavilion. But that's off now. Thanks to Mr. Hammersley.
Wait a minute. Why off? The fact that you just got sacked couldn't affect your meeting her.
No. But I would soon have to tell her that having no income means I can't afford to marry.
At the moment, anyway.
Yes, at the moment.
So you see, it was not only mulish to quarrel with the old man under the circumstances, it was entirely irresponsible.
I was looking forward to seeing her tomorrow. I don't know the sound of her voice, or what her hands are like, or what her hair color is. I don't know the shape of her face, though I hope it's oval. I have no idea whether she's skinny or full of curves, and that's an important point to me. And yet, I can hear her heartbeat in her letters. And when I'm without a letter from her for more than 2 days, I'm as miserable as sin.
Well, in that case, if I were you, I'd be at the pavilion tomorrow. There's always the chance that her bust is 46.
Or that her Christian name is Grace, or Mercy, or Patience. Gag.
What? You don't even know her name?
No. And she doesn't even know my name. Her box is 105 and mine is 14. That's as far as identity goes. Well, goodbye, Mr. Smith.
Goodbye, my lad. And mind you, don't forget us. You know where we live, and my wife is always glad to see you.
So thanks, Smithy.
Mr. Ashfield, I want you to know that I've never said a word against you to Mr. Hammersley, believe it or not.
I'll make a note of that, Miss Patience Baker.
What do you know? He can't even speak a civil word to me.
Now, Pat, stop carrying on about him. I won't have it.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Thanks a lot, Pat. You'll get it on Friday. I'll make a point of it. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
You have a cigarette, Mr. Smith?
You wouldn't smoke my kind.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't give you one.
What a sourpuss.
As anemic as I am, that man makes my blood boil. If you wait for me, Pat, I'll walk with you part of the way.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening, Raymond. Mr. Hammersley is angry. Where have you been for so long?
So what? He'll calm down. What about me? It's my blinking afternoon off, according to the Ministry of Bloody Labour. And she sends me about on private errands. Or she think I am, a blooming pack horse.
Who Who sent you on private errands?
Why, Mrs. Hammersley, of course. 6 different places, all over town, in this blinking weather, on a bike, risking my neck. Can't even walk on the ice road. Free spills.
Coming, Pat.
I'm going with Smithy.
See you Monday, then.
Good night, Bee.
And Raymond, where have you been hanging about all this time?
Why, in a blooming Turkish bath, getting my sore muscles worked on.
Don't be impertinent.
Impertinent? I went to the Turkish bath to remind the old body basher and the old toe twitcher to be sure and turn up tomorrow at Mrs. Hammersley's.
Oh, I see. Well, see you Monday.
She better be careful. I'll run her down with my bike. Then she'll enjoy the National Health Service for a couple of months.
Raymond, running people over have become an obsession with you.
Why does she always have to put her smoke into everything? Let's go, Pat.
Good night, Raymond.
Laters.
Who's there?
It's me.
Who is me?
Raymond.
What the blazes are you doing making all that noise?
Straightening up the Christmas ornaments.
In the dark?
When the rest of them left, they turned off most of the lights.
Why didn't you say something to them?
Well, I could see all right by the light of the window.
But I couldn't see you.
Well, I didn't know that.
Where have you been all afternoon?
Well, I had to run a few errands for Mrs. Hammersley.
What kind of errands?
To Stratton's on Albert Road for Mrs. Emily's silver shoes. To Davis's for the Christmas cards. I fetched Master Harold's ski togs from the cleaners because he's leaving for Scotland tomorrow. And went for Mrs. Hammersley's cape at the furrier's. And then Mrs. Hammersley wanted me to skin some hares for tomorrow.
Will there be hares tomorrow?
Yes, Master Harold shot 3.
Well, you can go home now.
But it's so mucky with all the Christmas ornaments mixed up. I just started rearranging them.
You can do it on Monday.
I don't mind doing it right now.
Don't argue. Good night.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any money?
Not a farthing.
Here's 50 crowns.
Thank you, Mr. Hammersley.
Don't suppose my wife bothered to tip you, did she?
No, sir.
Typical.
Good evening.
Good evening. Raymond, go now. Buzz off, boy.
But I have to lock up the joint. I'd better wait for you.
Off you go now.
Good night, sir.
Sit down, will you?
Thank you. Shall I start now?
Please do.
We are alone now, I take it?
We are. All of my staff has gone home. That delivery boy was the last to leave.
Our suspicions were right. Your wife spent the time between 8 and 11 last night at the cinema with one of your employees, the Glen Hill Theatre, with that Mr. S. Kelly.
With whom?
With a Mr. S. Kelly, one of your salesmen.
Go on.
At 3 minutes after 8 o'clock, we observed Mrs. Hammersley in the company of Mr. Kelly as they entered the cinema. At 10:37, they came out of the cinema and walked to the Park Cafe. They took a table and were observed conversing tête-à-tête. At 9 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Mrs. Hammersley left unaccompanied, went to the garage around the corner, and drove off in a pale green car. Do you wish us to continue the observation?
No.
Some of our clients prefer to be present at the second check.
No, no. I'd like to settle up with you now.
Here you are, sir. An invoice for our services. Should the need arise, sir, we hope you will again make use of our services.
Here is my check.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
And a Merry Christmas, sir.
Is that you, Mr. Hammersley?
It is me, Constable.
Well, I saw the light in the cash desk. I didn't know you were still here.
I was just about to go.
Nice tree you have there.
Yes, isn't it?
You have the nicest window on the street. Gives you a cozy feeling. Real?
Pardon?
Is it a live tree?
Oh, no. We have had that tree for years.
Well, it doesn't look like it. Good night, then.
Good night, Constable.
Mr. Hammersley? What are you doing? Mr. Hammersley, no! Don't! You mustn't! Help!
The event known as death has much in common with the human event known as the blind date. Both events have elements of the unknown about them. Both events contain elements of anxiety and surprise. And yes, both events can be associated with feelings of dread. Unaware of their boss's fate, Mr. Smith has successfully convinced Mr. Ashwood that Mr. Ashwood should in fact keep his date with his female pen pal. Mr. Ashwood has received another communication from the unknown pen pal in which she proposes that they meet at a popular jazz club in London. Mr. Ashwood has begged Mr. Smith to go with him to the jazz club, where he has asked Mr. Smith to serve as his spy, whose function will be to peek through the windows of the jazz club in an effort to provide Mr. Ashwood with a preview of his blind date.
Mr. Smith, I really don't want to know what she looks like. I've already had enough bad news today. It'll be even more difficult if she's beautiful. If she's ugly, well, that would just take the cake now, wouldn't it?
It would be my secret. What was the name of the book she was supposed to be reading?
It's an Agatha Christie novel, Appointment with Death. There will be a drawing of a snake on the dust cover. And don't forget, she'll be wearing a sprig of heather like the one I'm wearing on my lapel.
Let me look through the window first.
Do you see her, Smithy? I mean, do you see a woman reading an Agatha Christie book wearing a sprig of heather on her dress?
As a matter of fact, I think I do see such a woman. She's very beautiful.
Mr. Smith, I specifically asked you not to tell me how she looks.
I'm sorry, but she looks very familiar.
Familiar how?
Well, frankly, it looks like Miss Patience Baker.
Oh, gag me. I hope they don't look that much alike.
I think it's possible that they might look very much alike.
And why would that be, Mr. Smith?
I hate to tell you this, Mr. Ashwood, but I believe the woman I'm looking at, sitting there reading an Agatha Christie novel and wearing a sprig of heather, is in fact Miss Patience Baker.
No! Let me see. Move over, Mr. Smith! Bloody hell, she looked right at me! I've been caught!
At this point, Mr. Ashwood, I think it might be best if you yourself were to go inside and keep your blind date, even if it is with Miss Patience Baker.
But that woman and I have been fighting with each other for the past 6 months.
And that woman is the very woman you have been writing letters to for the past 6 months. The very woman whom you say you love and who has agreed to marry you.
All right, Mr. Smith, you have helped me up to this point. Now I think it's time for you to go home to your wife.
Very well, Mr. Ashwood. I wish you the best. We'll tell me all about it at work on Monday.
Bonsoir, monsieur. Welcome to Café du Paris in London, where you can listen to some of the best jazz music on this side of the channel. Why don't you come inside? Do you have a reservation?
Well, I guess, lead the way. I'm supposed to meet a young woman here tonight. I think she has already been seated.
By any chance, could she be a young woman wearing a sprig of heather?
Yes, it's one like I'm wearing on my lapel.
Yes, I believe it is. Come this way and I will show you to her table. A few nights ago, we had a couple who had agreed to wear roses as a signal for their planned rendezvous. That one turned out very nicely. But once we had a very sad case in which a couple agreed to wear orchids. Perhaps that turned out to be a very unfortunate experience for the young man. Another young man mistook the orchid to be a signal for an out-of-the-ordinary meeting, shall we say. The young woman ended up leaving by herself.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, I do see you over there reading her book.
I can take it from here. Thanks. I didn't catch your name.
Monsieur Pierre. Bonne chance, monsieur. Bonne chance. I shall send a waiter up to Douai. Immediately, that is.
Well, you can tell the waiter to take his time.
But of course, monsieur. Bien sûr.
Good evening, Miss Baker. I guess you saw me peek through the window.
Good evening, Mr. Ashwood. Yes, I saw you and Mr. Smith. Did you bring him as a second for this duel? Sorry, I didn't bring a second.
Now, Miss Baker, I was hoping that we might be able to keep this pleasant. I mean, it is all sort of funny. I mean, us writing each other all these months. Why, you even agreed to marry me.
I agreed, Mr. Ashwood, to marry the man that I had been writing to. And I cannot now believe that you are in fact that man.
But I am. Look, I have my sprig of heather here. Is there anyone else in the room wearing another sprig of heather besides us?
No, I would have noticed.
Well, then, there it is. The two of us has agreed to meet here.
And here we are in all of our glorious clumsiness.
May I sit down, Miss Baker?
No, I do not believe that you should sit down, Mr. Ashwood. The irony of this situation is becoming more than I can bear.
Oh? Then what about me?
What about you, Mr. Ashwood?
Well, how silly do you think I feel at this point?
Silly enough to realize that any plans we may have written about are absurd in light of this meeting.
All right, then. If you want me to, I'll leave.
You must be reading my mind, Mr. Ashwood.
Well, take my sprig of heather. I won't be needing it anymore. Maybe you can use it to make a new scent in your laboratory.
If the scent were to be derived from something you might be wearing, Mr. Ashwood, I do not think it would be popular enough to make it worth being manufactured.
Is that so?
It is so.
Then we'll see you around, Miss Baker.
Not if I am fortunate enough to see you before you see me, Mr. Ashwood. Good night.
Good night.
Is everything not going very well, mademoiselle?
Actually, it all went quite well. He has left, hasn't he?
And that is the way it was planned?
Under the circumstances, yes. I would have planned it just as it went tonight.
Ah, well then. Good riddance, mademoiselle. Oui?
Most decidedly, oui.
Broadcasting on its new wavelength of 274 meters.
Passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your branches green delight us. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your branches green delight us. They're green when summer days are bright. They're green when winter snow is white. Oh, Christmas.
natural passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Hear the page and stand by me, if thou knowest his telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives a goodly Kent underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I shall see him dine when we bear them thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together. Through the rude winds were lament and the bitter weather. Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind grows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. Him his master.
Good evening, this is Nigel Rutherford with the IBC. We interrupt our scheduled programming of the radio drama and the Snowfalls for some commercial messages. But first, let me introduce you to tonight's cast. Playing the part of Mr. Hammersley is Sir Ed Jopes. Playing the part of Mr. Ashwood is Mr. Mike Jaffe. Playing the part of Kelly is Mr. Tavis Evans. Playing the part of Smith is Mr. Tom Roche. Playing the part of Miss Molson is Lady Kari Collins. Playing the part of Miss Richards, Lady Susan Shopes. Playing the part of Miss Baker, Miss Elizabeth Shopes. Playing the part of Raymond, Lord Michael Collins. Playing the part of Ernie, Antonio Shopes. Playing the policeman and Mr. Barlow, Mr. Ed Steiner Esquire. Playing the detective and the maitre d', Mr. Dennis Fisher. Playing the part of Mrs. Worthley, Charlotte Colson. Playing the part of Mrs. Colby, Fran Latin. Playing the part of Mrs. Watson, Karen McCarty. Our narrator tonight is Madam Jerry Greeno Sanders. Our technical director is Mr. Dick McMahon. Original music for this program was created by Mr. Nick Batmall, Mr. Dennis Fisher, and Mr. Logan Fisher. And our producer-director for the program is a Mr. James Kemp. We continue with our broadcast.